one ear and out the other. And then if we do hear it and we take it in, he doesn't want us to apply it. He wants to hinder us in some kind of way. And so he starts with many times the minister trying to discourage, trying to discombobulate, confuse, try to cause you to in some way lose confidence and not be able to deliver the word of God like the Lord would want you to. But the devil, if you already didn't know, is a defeated foe. And Christ is with us this morning, and I got the saints of God behind us, and so we're encouraged in the Lord today. The title of this discourse is Love Not the World. Love Not the World. And again, it's a reminder and it's a warning. And if it's nothing else, it's a reminder and a warning. The text scripture will be found in 1 John 2 and 15, reading on down to verse number 17. We'll read in a moment those scriptures. But I want you to pay attention this morning. We don't want to keep you too long, but we want to give you what the Lord has given us by the help of the Lord. All right, so the Lord many times will give us a warning. He lets us know that there's danger out there. It's the enemy's job to ensnare. And I want you to pay attention to the words I'm using this morning. To ensnare, to entrap, to entice, to tempt, to in some way, one way or another, if you are a child of God, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to pull you away from God's will and plan for your life, ultimately damning your soul to hell. That's what he wants to do. All right, and so we don't talk about that a whole lot because it seems like it's hard to hear, and it seems like it's something that we don't want to deal with as much. But the enemy has a job to do, and I'll tell you right now, whether or not you're on your job, he's on his job. Do you understand? And so we need to, when we get warning, we need to perk and listen up. The Bible says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. All right, and so that means that if you're listening, listen with your whole heart, open your mind and your heart to what God has for you this morning. I have a warning from the Lord this morning. And then those that already know, and you know that it's true, we still need to be reminded. We are human beings, and sometimes things get pushed back into the recesses and the corners of our mind, and they're not as much as a Lord help us, they're not as clear or as close to the forefront of our mind that they need to be. This is something that we're talking about today that needs to always be on our mind, and we always need to be on guard against not loving the world. May help us, may the Lord help us this morning. And so our verse, our reading is found in 1 John 2. Be praying for us. 1 John 2 and 15 on down through verse number 17. It says here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, that means anybody, if any man love the world, it's talking about mankind, the love of the Father is not in him. I want you to pause there. When it says don't love the world, it's not talking about the fact that we're in this world. Do you know that we're in this world, but we are not to be of this world? And we'll talk about it. We can live and use the things of this world without becoming intertwined, intertrapped in the trappings of the things of this world. It says love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Many times when we talk about not loving the world, we don't make a focus on the things that are in the world. Sometimes we can get involved, we can get tied up with the things that are in the world, and when we get tied up with those things, we can't seem to break away. And then the problem is the love of the Father is not in us. If we love the world, if we love the things that are in the world, how can those two loves coexist? According to the Bible, they can't. May the Lord help us this morning. So the Bible says, don't love the world. Be in the world, but don't be of it. Don't love the things that are in the world. Thank you, Lord, for my nice car. Thank you, dear God, for my nice home. Thank you for these good old clothes and this good food, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Lord, my love is for you first and last and always by the grace and help of God. This is how you and I keep the enemy from pulling us away. When we begin to love the world, when we begin to love the things that are in the world, the devil has something to entice us with, to tempt us away from the direct, the express, and the exact will of God for our lives. May the Lord help us this morning. And so it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. May the Lord help us this morning. It also says in the 16th verse, it talks about what's in the world. I want you to get a hold of what's in the world. It says, all that's in the world, what does it say? All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Notice that it talks about lust, alright? Then it talks about lust again, and then it talks about pride. One lust is the lust of the flesh. The other lust is the lust of what we see, and then the last thing is pride. You understand that when you began to get into lust, listen to me this morning. Love and lust are not the same thing. Do you understand? Love is of God. You know that? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is what? Of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And so love is of God. But lust is something else. Do you understand me this morning? What lust is something that is a desire that is displeasing to God that will never be satisfied. Do you understand me this morning? Lust is a thing that cannot be satisfied. Lust is something that you can have all of it that you want and you're still not satisfied. You lust after a woman. You lust after a man. And when you get done with that one, you're not satisfied. You're on to the next one. That's what lust does. Love is different because it'll allow you to love one woman, one man, until death do you part. It'll allow you to make the necessary adjustments that you need to make. They'll make the necessary adjustments that they need to make. And this is how things work. The reason why there's so much divorce, the reason why there's so much foolishness going on in the realm of marriage and all of these things is because people are lusting after each other, trying to bind themselves together with the holy matrimony, and it can't be done. We have to start with the love of God in our hearts. We have to second that with, Lord, who do you want me to have? Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do with my life? And then I'll do that. She'll do that. And the Lord will be in the middle of that thing, and he'll bind us together, and it'll work by the grace and help of God. But if I lust after someone, she looks good, he looks good, where does that end? When does that desire go away? May the Lord help us this morning. I know of people that have been in a marriage, and that spirit of lust has destroyed their marriage. Someone came along, and they were tempted away, and now they're with someone else, and guess what? They're looking at somebody else. May the Lord help us. It doesn't work. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. Sometimes our eyes are bigger than our stomach. May the Lord help us this morning. We want more than what we can ever handle. Why do you need $1 billion? Why do you need it? It's quiet in here. That's all right. I'm going to talk about it. What you going to do with $1 billion? What you going to do with it? You're going to consume it upon your own lust. The Bible says you have not because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust. That's why you don't have it. You want something that you don't even need that's going to be a detriment to you. May the Lord help us. And so our eyes can get so big and we can get so concerned about what somebody else have or what we think we need to have. We forget to acknowledge God and give him thanks and praise for what he already did for us. We don't even get the benefit of what God has already blessed us with because we're too concerned about what we don't have. And again, it's insatiable. I want a Bentley. Oh, okay, well, the Bentley is outdated, so now I want a McLaren. Yes. Y'all didn't even know I knew about them vehicles. I want a Bugatti. Amen. I'll take that little brown truck out there. It does the same thing. It ain't as fast or as fancy, but it gets me from point A to point B. And another thing, it keeps me humble. May the Lord help us. Can't be too proud driving that thing. Lord help us. Huh? The Lord knows what I need, and he gives me what I need. I'm not telling you you can't have a Bugatti if God give you one, but you better make sure God gave it to you. Because what happens is we began to desire after these things, and as we began to chase after those things, and we put our time and effort in those things, my time for the Lord, my desire for the Lord begins to go away. Why? Because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can't do both at the same time. May the Lord help us this morning. May he stand by and be with us. This morning. So the last verse here that we wanted to get to in 1 John chapter 2, we read verse number 15, we read verse number 16, but number 17, I want you to pay special attention to this. It jumped out to me. It did something to me as I was reading it. It says, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof. Y'all ever see that? When y'all was reading this scripture? Y'all don't read this scripture before. We know that the world is going to end. We know that. Even if the world doesn't end, we know that we're not going to be here forever. Amen. If you look into the media, you look into all of the sales and all those that are marketing things, they're selling you heaven on earth. You can get all these beautiful things and then you'll be happy. All you got to do is go on this nice vacation. All you got to do is have a nice 401k, some IRAs and all these different things. If you have all these things, then you'll be safe and secure and then you'll be happy. You see? I'm telling you that those things, you can ball every last one of those things up. Put them in a big, huge ball and try to fit them into the hole where God's place is in your heart, and you never will be happy. Amen. You won't. You won't. May the Lord help us. There are people that are going to have way more money than we ever had. They're going to have way more things than we ever had. And what you got right now, salvation and a relationship with God, they don't know it. They would get everything they have just to have that. No peace, no joy. My friends are not even my friends because they're there for what I got, not for me. May the Lord help us. But that's not what you see on the television. That's not what you see on the internet. That's not what you see in the world. You see somebody flossing and big timing and you say, man, they really got it going on. There ain't nothing but a whole lot of debt and some problems. May the Lord help us. The Bible said happiness with contentment is what? Huh? How much? Great gain by the help of the Lord. You see, and so if I have the Lord in my life and he's leading and guiding and directing me and my love for God is first and foremost in my life, then what's happening is I already have the main ingredient to what it is that I need right here. Not only right here, but I get to go to heaven too. Come on now. Are you kidding me? I get to have the Lord here to lead and guide and direct me, to help me with my decisions, because I found that I don't know as much as I think I know. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own step. I ain't got it. He got it. I found that to be so. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. May the Lord help us. When we're following after those things, we cannot follow after God at the same time. And the devil's always going to put that carrot out there, that insatiable desire. Turn with me to page number 207 in your songbooks, please. And I want you to read that fifth verse, that last verse. And I'm going to quote it. I want you to contemplate it for a moment. It says, I've tried the road of sin and I found its prospects all deceived. Do you know what a prospect is? You know what it is? Do you know what a prospector is? Remember the 49ers? Remember the gold rush? Remember that? A prospector came to California and came to the West to get what? To get that gold, right? And so they came with the mindset that there's gold here and it's a possibility that I could get rich. So that's what the enemy does. Look at this carrot. Isn't that a nice carrot? Remember the rabbit, the bunny, you know. Tie the carrot to the little branch, put a little string on it, and put it out there in front of the rabbit. And the rabbit he's trying to get it, and then he falls into a trap. That's how the enemy does. I've tried the role of sin and found what I'm finding is in my life. Sin led me, love of the world led me to nothing but deceptive pain and punishment. I'll say it again, because that's the way it happened. I thought I was in control. I thought that if I put my mind to it, I can do it. And so I did that, and I followed after that, not knowing that I'm going away from God. I'm going towards the world. I'm going to where the enemy, who is the prince of this world, the enemy of all souls, you understand? And so I'm involved with him. I'm involved with his deals. And then now, at the end of that thing, I'm in pain. Other people are in pain. And I don't even have what he said I can have because it's the prospect that's getting me. I think I'm going to get it. So I'm on this hamster wheel, chasing this thing, putting all this effort and putting all this time into doing this thing. And I'll never get it. Why? Because I'm on the hamster the wheel and the carrots over there. May the Lord help us. And so the enemy, that's what he wants to do. He wants to tempt you away from God, but God has something way, way better. It says, I've tried the road of sin and found its prospects. A prospect is defined as, Lord, help us, the deceptive prospects that the enemy have. We have to remember that it's the possibility of future success. Yeah. All right? It might happen. Something good in the future will happen. And I see people that are not saved and they're going away from God and that's a recurring theme. All that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's where the pride of life comes in. Pride won't let you acknowledge that it's not going to happen. It never was going to happen. And it won't let you acknowledge defeat. Mm-hmm. May the Lord help us. People are not saved. They have gone away from God. And over and over and over again, they keep running against the same wall. But it's going to be better tomorrow. Sooner or later, it's going to be better. I want to encourage you today. If that is your situation, and I realize I'm not just preaching to this congregation. I'm preaching to whoever may be hearing this now or in the future. If you're running up against that same wall, I want to encourage you to put that pride down. Put that pride down, acknowledge that this is not going to work, and then when you get saved, adopt that mindset in terms of, if it's not better yet, it will be, because it actually will be. May the Lord help us. If not in this life, but in the life to come. I encourage you that it'll be in this life as well. I want you to know that by the grace and help of God. All right. And so it says, I've tried the road of sin and found its prospects all deceive. All of them are deceptive. I've proved the Lord and joys abound more than I could believe. This is his own personal testimony. Brother Warren, he wrote that song, but it can be your testimony as well. If you're not saved, if you are saved, I want to tell you something here, because this is not only to the unsaved. This is to the saved as well. All of these things that I'm talking about. What prevents people from warming to the task, what prevents people from going all out for the Lord many times is, I've got this secret love affair with the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have been saved. I'm over here, but I'm looking over there. I'm looking to the things I've left behind. It's a reason why you left those things behind. May the Lord help us. And so if the enemy can't get you to go back out into sin completely, he'll get you looking at it at least, and getting your mind thinking about the things that you left behind. That's where it starts, you see. Remember Lot's wife? Do you remember Lot's wife? Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Going to be destroyed, correct? Lot was told, get out of there, take your wife, take your kids, get out and don't look back. And Lot's wife, they all got out. Fire and brimstone began to come down upon those cities. Those cities were wicked, and God said he was going to destroy them. This is Old Testament. And what ended up happening was, and I'm not downing her, I'm just telling you this is how it works in a spiritual sense. If you're going to go away from the Lord, then you're going to be looking back first. Very seldom is it that you just jump out one day and say, well, this ain't working, I'm just going to go back into sin. What it does, he got to get you to look at it first. Then once you look at it, you find your feet, because your feet go where your eyes go. And so you was walking this way, and then over time, you see. May the Lord help us. This is the exact way it works. That's why I said it's a warning. That's why I said it's a reminder. It's something to keep close in your mind. How you defend against this is get all out for the Lord. You understand? Get all out for the Lord. Despise the shame. Don't you know that the world is going to talk about you? Amen. Did you know that? Yes. The Lord, the world going to talk about you if you're not saved. Right. Huh? Right. May the Lord help us. I got some of these scriptures in here, and I'm going to get to them. But I want you to understand that the enemy makes it seem like if you join the haters, then at least they won't be hating on you. But think about that. Does that make sense to you? A hater is a hater, right? So a hater gonna hate, right? Regardless. They gonna be hating on you whether you join. They hating on each other right now. You may as well be on God's side. And then it says, blessed are they that are persecuted for what? Righteousness' sake. For what? Matthew 5 and 10. Somebody get Matthew 5 and 10. Great is every reward in heaven, says Brother John. I believe that's in there. Read Matthew 5 and 10, and let's see if that says that. I want to tell you that I want to encourage you today, because this is something that hinders us and causes us to look back. Many of us, a lot of us, most of us, we don't want people to look at us in a scornful way. We don't want them to talk about us. We don't want them to think of us in a negative way. And so we are so afraid of that, that we're willing, unknowingly, to give the devil our souls, literally, because we don't want them to talk about us. You want me to tell you what they're doing in hell? They still talking about each other. Did you know that? If you're wicked when you leave here, you'll be wicked when you get there. Amen. That's part of the torment. Mm-hmm. May the Lord help us. And so, there's a way that we can live our lives. The Bible says if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. So what we can do, listen to me, this ain't easy. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. But you as a child of God, me as a child of God, Lord, I'm coming to you today. I'm kneeling down in prayer as humble as I know how. And I mean what I'm saying to the best of my ability. Lord, I want you to help me to stop worrying about what they think about me. Because if I worry too much about what they think about me, I'm going to be lost behind that. What's Matthew 5 and 10 say?
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord help us. You want to get to heaven? Then you'll have to, by the help of the Lord, get to a place where you ain't worried about what they say about you, what they think about you. And listen to me, I'm not talking about what man is putting on you. Sometimes what hinders people is, Lord help us. This is a different topic. Maybe one day we'll get to it. But sometimes other Christians can put things on other Christians that God ain't putting on them. And so it's not that they're rejecting the way of Christ. They are rejecting what is being put on them that God is not putting on. You ever heard the scripture that they'll swallow a camel? This is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. It said they'll swallow a camel and strain at a gnat. What that means is, They not right themselves, but they're going to get you right. They're going to nitpick and get way all into the details of your salvation, get in between you and God and tell you what you're supposed to be doing. That is not of God. As God deal and work with you, measure up to as he deal and work with you. We already know sin is out. We already know the world is out. That's out. So if it's sin or world, you don't got to ask nobody. It's out. Ask the Lord to help you to give it up.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
And then those details and those places where of growth that we need to make. Let's go to God about those things. Lord, I feel like I got this kind of issue. My patience ain't where it need to be. I got a quick temper. I got whatever it might be. I have a problem when this type of temptation. You fill in the blank. When this type of temptation comes to me, I really, really struggle with this thing. I need some more victory in my soul. You think he'll do it? I know that he will. I'm encouraging you to go with that by the help of the Lord. All right, so the Bible says, don't be ashamed of the Lord. Because if you're ashamed of the world, of the Lord and his way, then he's going to be ashamed of you. Somebody go with me to Luke 9 and verse number 25. I appreciate your time and your attention, your prayers for me. My goal and aim is to make heaven my home. I want you to go with me. I want to meet you, see you on the other side. But if you're not there, I want you to know that I'm sorry about that, but I've got to go. No, I'm dead serious about that. I got to go. By the grace and help of God. So hate on me if you have to. Talk bad about me if you have to. I know I ain't no song leader. I know that. That's okay. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. We all are.
Amen.
I mean to make heaven my home. May the Lord help us. So Luke 9, in verse number 25 says, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole what? The whole world and lose himself or be cast away. In another place it says, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? It gets very direct about that. There's a key here that we need to look at. It's talking about gaining the world, not just the world, but the whole world. What that means is everything I want, everything I desire, everything I could ever have or think of, I gain all of that. And he's saying here, what is the profit here if I get all of that and then in the end, I'm lost? Okay? Love not the world. Don't love the things that are in the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm not telling you that God, if you're a child of God and God sees that you need some blessings, he won't bless you. He will. He blesses me all the time. He really does. That ain't why I'm saved. I said, that's not why I'm saved. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he will lead and guide and direct us to where we all want to go, whether we know it or not. So may the Lord help us. The Lord will bless you. He will help you in many different ways. Your life will become better when you give your heart to the Lord. When you really, and when I say that, what I mean is not just getting saved, but I'm talking about all out. Lord has been dealing with me about all out. Don't play with it. Go on and do it all the way. You want to be a little bit, let me ask you this. You want to be a little bit saved when God is coming to judge the world? A little bit might be almost saved, could be saved, not sure, on the line, on the fence. That's where you want to be? You don't want to be there. You want no confusion in the matter whatsoever. I was talking to him just a few moments ago, and now I'm talking to him in person because I'm on the other side. I'm telling you, live your life that way. May the Lord help us. And the only way we're going to do it is when we deny and get rid of that world stuff. I don't care about the world no more. I don't care about what they saying. I don't care about what they're doing. I'm not even looking over there. That ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm looking to Jesus. I'm looking to glory divine, grace of God. That's what I want to do. Because I don't want no confusion. May the Lord help us. I believe that just like when you're driving and you look somewhere, the car ends up going that way and you have to correct it. I believe that you can literally, just by looking at something, end up somewhere where you never intended to be. Lord, help us. May he stand by and be with us. Luke 9 and 26 says, for whatsoever shall be ashamed of me, it says, whosoever does it not, thank you for the correction. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me, and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. So it says here, this is Jesus talking. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. In his own glory and in his Father's and all the holy angels. I don't care if I can't see. You can see, you read it. Amen. I know it's there. May the Lord help us. And so what happens is, saints of God, people that are and people that would be a child of God, I want to encourage you, let the Lord work and deal with you to the point where you give that world up. Sometimes, people of God, we don't know that we are so intertwined and so enamored with the things of this world. We don't know that. I was talking to somebody not long ago, and several people, matter of fact, and sometimes we think we are in a place where we aren't because we want to be in that place.
You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I feel like I'm really all out for the Lord. I feel like I'm doing all that I can for the Lord. But it's the desire that's making me think that. And when God sends the trial and the test, then I really see where I'm at. That is not the place to become discouraged. You hear me? Do not get discouraged. It is the mercy of God showing us where we truly are, because when he shows us simultaneously where we are, what comes along with that is the opportunity to get closer to the Lord. It's not like he's trying to embarrass you. Oh, you thought you was there? Ha, ha, ha. You are not there. Ha, ha, ha. That's not how he does it. What he does is he shows us where we are deficient, and then he says, come closer, my child, to me when I get weary with toils of the day. Often the secret, I kneel and I pray. Listen to that song. There I can hear my Lord sweetly say, come on closer, my child, to me. Closer, my child, to me. It says, closer, my child, to me. Closer, my child, to me. Come closer. Come closer. Closer, my child, to me. I've got an opportunity to find my knees on a daily basis. And I find myself leaning towards the world, leaning towards the things that will ultimately pull me away from where I need to be with the Lord. Find your knees. They're right there below your hips. Just follow your legs. And find your knees. If you can't kneel on your knees, sit down, whatever you need to do, bow your head in earnest prayer and say, Lord, I need you to do something about me. I want you to understand, you can't do it by yourself. I can't do it by yourself. There is no one in heaven that did it without God. Amen. Not one person. Right. Amen. And so God does the work in us. We have the desire, we have the power and the will in terms of, Lord, I want you to do this for me, so I'm bringing myself to you, and I'm going to let you do it. And then he's able to work with us and work on us to get us where we need to be. Amen. Amen. All right, so we thank the Lord for what he's done for us today. I want to encourage you. I ain't even get to all my stuff, but God knows all about it. I rarely ever do, and he still knows all about it. I want you to take some things away from this. I'm going to give you, well, you're just going to have to bear with me. I'm sorry. I got to say this. So there is some situations that I know about because of what I do. And I'm speaking in generalities because there's been more than one situation where this has occurred. You have a man or a woman, doesn't matter. They're in a situation where the bills are piling up, the family life, maybe the girlfriend, the boyfriend left. They got kids all over the world. They're behind the child, whatever it might be. And so they've been battling depression. They've been battling negativity for years and years. And you get the call, and you got to come out, and you got to pronounce them because it's already been done. What didn't need to be done. You understand? Remember I said that by the help of the Lord, the song says, I tried the road of sin and found its prospects all deceived. It's disappointing. Do you understand? I put my heart and my life into this relationship. Listen to me. I put my heart and my life into this job and this career. I've put everything I got into, you put whatever you need to in that blank, because that's what people do. The Bible teaches us, it says, set your affections on what? Things above, not on things of the earth, where moth and rust do corrupt. When I put my desires and my hopes, listen to me, my hopes and dreams into these things of this earth, I'm bound to be disappointed severely. I'm not finished. Even if I get what I want. Now, make that make sense. I wanted it. I went after it. I got it, and I still ain't happy. You see? It's a lie. The Bible says that the devil is not only a liar, but he is the father of lies. He's the originator of them. And so he'll deceive you with things that you think you may want that will make you happy, that will enrich and bless your life. And you'll put all your hopes and efforts, and the key word is hope. You put all your hopes and your effort in these things, and you find out, even if you get them, they still don't fix that broken heart you're walking around with. They still don't give that peace of God which passeth all understanding. They can't do that. They still don't comfort and renew your mind. You still got anxiety. You still got depression. You still got all these things because your hopes and the things that you are following after, they cannot provide what Christ Jesus and God the Father can provide you. He can do all of those things. And that's what Jesus came to bring to us. He said, I came to heal the hope brokenhearted. I came to set at liberty them that are bound. Do you know that when you are bound, you can't free yourself because you are bound? How you gonna do it? Houdini was a cheater. Did y'all know that? Houdini had something that he used to get him out of it. When you're bound by, y'all know who Harry Houdini is? I know I'm older. Harry Houdini was an escape artist. And so he would hide keys in his mouth and stuff like that. And he was very limber, so he can get the key to the lock, unlock it, and get out, even though they threw him in water. That's just for free. You're welcome. But if you had the key, you'd get out already. You understand? You don't have the key. And what he's doing is the enemy is offering you the key. But he don't have the key, saints of God. He don't have it. And why would he give you the key if he's the one that's binding you? What kind of sense do that make? When you follow after the world, when you follow after things that are unrighteous, they wrap themselves around you. Over time, you end up bound and can't move. And then he's going to go through all that effort and then give you the key. Does that make sense? I didn't think so. Didn't make sense to me either. And God is watching the entire process. And he's saying, I wish they wouldn't get bound up like they are, but I can either loosen those chains or I got the key and I'll just go straight to the lock. Do you know that if you can go to where the lock is, the chains become pointless? You can be bound up with the biggest, heaviest chains in the world and God come in with that key and unlock that deal and loosen it and the chains literally fall down around you. Amen. Salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found. I find that to be true. And so people put their hopes and their trust and their desires and all of these things, and they sometimes get those things. Most of the time they don't. He's a liar. Why would he give them to you? It's much easier to keep on telling you this next thing is going to work. It's much easier to move the carrot along. You understand? And so that's usually what he does. But somebody has to get some of those things because then that gives validity to what he's telling you. So some people get it. The problem is they got what they thought they wanted, but it's not fixing the problem. And so we lose the most important thing, one of the most important things that we have, and that is hope. And so the same one that bound you, the same one that tricked you into that situation, he says, well, you may as well end it all. Is that true? Are you ending it all? If you do that, are you ending it all? Absolutely not. You have to deal with eternity and where you end up at. And so even that is a lie. May the Lord help us. The key and the answer is to give your heart to the Lord. The key and the answer is to, once you have got saved and given your heart to the Lord, I want you to, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to do it by the help of the Lord, give yourself to him fully and completely. What ends up happening when you do that is not difficult to give up the things of the world, the things of sin, the thing, whatever it would be that would hinder you from living to all you know and understand, like God wants you, it becomes way easier. When you love somebody, then you don't have to worry about that other person that looks good also, because this is the one you love. And this is the way it is with God. May the Lord help us. May he stand by and be with us. Bless and encourage our hearts. May he help us to yield to him as he deal with us. It's nothing special about the altar, because God will meet you anywhere. But if you need help in your soul, then the thing that we do here is, a child of God that knows the Lord, knows how to get to the Lord, they'll help you pray through, because sometimes you need help praying through. The enemy will meet you at the altar and tell you it's not possible. He'll tell you that you can't do it, that it can't be done. That person that comes down, that qualified person that come down to the altar, that know how to get a prayer through, that know how to fight the enemy, that knows how to recognize the enemy, they'll fight with you and you can get through. May the Lord help us. And so if God deal with your heart, then I encourage you to yield as soon as you possibly can and as completely and as fully as you can. I want to encourage you not to look back. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, neither the things that are in the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. My goal and aim, make heaven my home. I'm not going to go by myself. I'm going to see hopefully all of you on the other side. We'll be rejoicing. In Jesus' name, amen.